There's a code of silence, and it can't go on.
Hi, folks. I'm Alan Watt, and this is Cutting Through the Matrix.
I'm just giving you basically information which hopefully, delivered in a proper way, will help you understand the system we're born into. A really good system. By good, I mean for someone who wants to study it. It's a work of something. You could say art, I suppose, and almost in a demonic way, because it's very clever. And it's clever because the ancients, and we are very old, humanity is very old. And look at the ancient empires, of course, from China and Middle East and different places, all the places that actually had written histories. And even Plato's great uncle, Solon, who went off, as they all did, all the aristocrats went off to study in Egypt at the time, of ancient Greece, that is. And he was told, you Greeks don't even know how old you are. That was back then. And how many empires had risen and managed the world and fallen over maybe even thousands of years. Now, since they had empires in ancient times, going way back even before Christianity, for instance, for maybe thousands of years, we just don't know. Although they're always finding evidence of new civilizations, or new old civilizations, put it that way, all over the place, actually, in the ancient world. But an empire tells you that you have something very important, and that is an understanding of human nature and how to control human nature in order to profit from the bulk of the population. That's what it's all about. Always has been, always is today. In fact, same thing, it is. Therefore, they had the sciences, like Machiavelli of the Middle Ages, they had the sciences in ancient times as well, by the studying of human nature. We've got to stop thinking that because TV wasn't invented thousands of years ago, that they couldn't learn about all the things that you're studying today. Knowledge was always accumulated, because knowledge is power. And for ruling people, you've got to always have it written down, or at least passed on to students, as to how to control and manage the general population, how to profit from. It's always to do with profiting from the bulk of the populace. I've always mentioned that Albert Pike made a big thing about this too, in a very small little statement. It's a big thing, big meaning behind a little statement, and that we make no apologies for nature, because it's an elitist thing for even the low Masons who don't understand that. It's very elitist. And it picks out potential people for positions in different controlling functions over society. The bulk of the populace never get to that position, of course. They're the outer portico, as Pike said. But they do understand human nature. Plato did the same thing, and Plato bewailed the fact, and so did his contemporaries, that with writing, and more people writing, that then the art of memory and memorizing would be lost. Because in those days, you had to really, really memorize things, we used to do that too with our times table, for instance, in school. But now it's all calculators and computers and so on. But in ancient times, they started writing stuff down too, and for the controlling elite, you see, it used to be kept very secretive. And the best way to have it secretive is to be taught directly to the people without writing. No notes, no nothing, just your memory is the best way for secrecy. It's also, there's no evidence, you see. And even conspirators today understand that you shouldn't really have any evidence of your conspiracy, if possible, in any recorded method at all. And so they go to great lengths to try and be very secretive and to be anonymous. I've said this, I can't run out of time, so I've said this and should always say it. As far back as Plato's writings, he tells you nothing comes from the grassroots and takes off and becomes success unless it's created and authorized by the elite that owns all. Nothing. Because you go into this realm which today the intelligence community, oh, it's known knowns and known unknowns and unknown unknowns, etc., etc. They go into all these different avenues. But they knew all that back in Plato's day. If you let one thing start, oh, it's innocent enough. It might topple something down the road and have a domino effect that you didn't anticipate. And so they knew that by experience in ancient Greece, I should say, and Rome too eventually, that you couldn't allow it. So you had to nip it in the bud. And as they say, most things were started by the top and allowed by the top. Right down to plays being shown to only elite members, like censor departments in ancient Greece, before they were shown to the public. And if there were some things to be added or detracted from it, they would do that, you see. It's the same thing happens today. Only today they generally put more indoctrination in for change, planned change, than taking things out now. The saving the public from bad habits and traits is gone, right? In fact, bad habits and traits today now is the individual thinking for themselves. There's always a bad guy and a loner or something like that, you know. And that's how you're fed your indoctrinations. The people have no idea. There's an ancient system. I mean, but we're going around in circles and circles and circles as they implement all the things that worked before. Getting back to Plato, Plato said that if you know the formula that made people adapt into a system, a new type of system of conformity, even to their own deprivation, then in rationing it might be, for as an example. But he said that you must know how the sequence of how it was instituted in the first place, and step 1, 2, 3, 4, etc. And if you understand that formula, it doesn't matter what age or era you live in, you can implement it again and people will respond accordingly. You understand, you keep compromising, and you've lost all your values altogether, and you have no respect for yourself. That's a new normal. And people think they're going to save America. I remember too, Plato talked about that too. He says that it's to really promote promiscuity with women. He says that women are a collective. He says that we should make a collective of them, and they'd all be basically available to anybody that wants them. Well, they did that in the 60s, you see, giving them the pill, that rock music and dope, and since then it's worked awfully well. You understand, it's the same agenda all down through time, to create the controlled, eugenically controlled society. That's what it is. Same agenda, folks. That's why they all love Plato's Republic. All the big boys at the top, they talk about it. Yep, why bother having a family when you can just take your pick and have one or two a week, whatever it happens to be, you know? And they're women in common, and they keep women in common, in other words. Well, it's so clever, too. You make them think they're free, and technically they're all held in common because they'll have so many partners in their life, that's the same outcome. The outcome is the thing that matters. It's the same thing. Is Darren from Ireland on?
Hi, Alan.
Hello. Yep.
I just, speaking of the whole medical system, I just want to read something quick from Plato's Republic, and I think it's verse 410, number A, and it's, this then is the kind of medical and judicial provisions for which we will legislate in our state, in your state. It will provide treatment for those of your citizens whose physical and psychological state is good. As for the others, it will leave the unhealthy to die and those whose physical state is incurable, corrupt, it will put to death.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to ask one quick question. I've just been thinking about all these real elites and the people who control the world. Do you honestly think that the lazy boy, the fat boy, or the lazy boys, you call them, you think they're maybe can live to nearly 200 years or even more? And
well, what's admitted, and even the guy who called us all maggots, the great he's not even a zoologist, he's a geneticist, David Suzuki, who has a massive, he's been on the radio, the television for years and years about animals and depopulation of humans. He himself came on Canadian television a few years back and said that we now have the capability to stop the aging process and make a person live to 500 years if we wanted to. So here's one of your top globalists, one of the Canada's top shows for animals. You know, they have one in every country, David Attenborough in Britain, who's also for killing off the people, standing up and saying that live on television. So they do have this ability. What they teach you in university, and I've even read it too from Bertrand Russell. Bertrand Russell said in the 40s and 50s, he says, at university level, he said, it's that's where they're kept, at university level. Even if you're a professor, you're at university level. There's another level above that. There's only, and the archives are only open to a select chosen few. So what you're taught in university or what you're taught in the papers is the latest cutting-edge technology, whatever, is really obsolete. And even when you're a student in biochemistry, etc., you can't find anything new on the same repetitive experiments you all have to do. If you find something new, it's not because it's new, it's supposed to be kept secret. And so the professor will come down on you and say, look, just stick to the program and be a good boy and you'll get on in life, you know. So there's no doubt about it. They're copying the same agenda as Plato advocated. Plato got it from Socrates. Socrates got it from the system that kept going with Pythagoras. It didn't disappear. So these elites always came out with the same agenda of getting rid of what they called the unfits. The rest of them, remember, he said, they'd make tall people, they'd interbreed tall people to pick apples off trees, and small squat people would get married with other small squat people, obviously a real male and a real female, and they'd be minors and things like that. So it's the same agenda. And all the top elitists, including H.G. Wells, said that Plato and the Republic was his favorite book. All the top globalists still say that, so they follow it. Yeah. But yeah, this great reset, so all the philanthropies come into their own now, you see, and you'll all be depending on them to feed you and take care of you. And if they decide eventually that they can't do it, well, it's sad, but that's the way it'll have to be. So there you'll have it. You'll have to rely on these big philanthropies, these wonderful people that just, you know, it goes with earning lots of money. They just want to suddenly help you, you know, and so on. And here's what Plato said, eh? See, there's nothing new under the sun, really. The technique, you know, the systems of technology are perhaps, but the same thing's getting delivered. This is what Plato said. He says, this and no other is the root from which a tyrant springs when he first appears as protector. Right? We're going to help you. Right? We're here to protect you. That's your tyrant.
That's the hardest part, I guess, is trying to make sense of your own lifetime. It's tough enough going over history, which is always being rewritten. And in our own age, this age we're in now, so much history is going down the memory hole, as George Orwell called it in 1984. Because we're not supposed to know how people were managed in the past and how the big cons were pulled on people by those in power. That's so they can always pull the same cons again. If we don't know, they'll do it again and again. And they do the same cons every generation now because the generations are split up. You don't have grandmothers and great-grandmothers and fathers living with families or even in touch with families anymore. So they don't pass on this information to the young. Therefore, the same scams can be pulled over and over, and we fall for them. It's like Plato said. Basically, Plato was saying that everything is a formula. If you want the public to behave or react or direct them in a certain direction, you simply use formula. That formula, which has been used before, will work again if implemented in the same sequence as before. And there are sciences to do with this which are not taught to the general population.
Remember Zygmunt Brzezinski, in his own book, between two ages, talked about the inability shortly of the vast populations to be able to reason for themselves. They would expect the media to do their thinking and reasoning for them. Well, voila, it has happened. And when that has happened, you're looking at Joe Blow next door, and he's going to parrot his downloading from the media to you, thinking he is quite normal. And if you think for yourself, he's going to think you're very odd, especially after comparing his views with everybody else he knows, who's also brainwashed, happily so, and he's going to call you odd because you don't share the authorized views on things. That's how simple it all works, to create a reality. Read Plato's Cave. Plato gives you it all in the allegorical story of a cave, being brought up in a cave, and how those in the cave knew nothing about an outside world, didn't know there was one. They could only look towards the back of the cave, not towards the entrance. And shadows would pass it as the day went on, the sun moved, and people passed the entrance, and they had stories all made up, probably by the previous experts, on what all these shadows were. And they created a mythology and religions about it. And because they all agreed about it, generation after generation, they believed it to be so. Till one escaped and got out of the cave and found a big world out there. And he found why the shadows were created inside the cave. He travelled the world and talked to people with all different viewpoints on things. Came back to the cave and tried to tell the rest of them. And as Plato said, what would they do? They'd want to kill him. That's what they'd want to do. He was shattering what they had as their only reality. Plato should know, because he was part of the mystery school, and these secrets of controlling human behavior have always been part of the mysteries in the higher levels, always to the present day. You cannot get up in this world into high stardom status unless you're made to be that way. You're made by the powers behind the scenes. The stars have always been given to the public to follow. That's why at checkout counters across the planet, you get all this nonsense about the stars and all the little dramas are supposed to have. Because the public seem to take an incredible interest in those who have been altered by being placed on the altar, the stage. The stage is a higher point. It's above you. And people worship those who are put up on altars. You don't get on the altar unless someone, a professional, puts you there, backed by the big powers, and the doors have been opened for you. You can't get through without the keys. Booksellers don't come begging for your books. On the contrary, it takes big buckaroos to give off the payola and grease the palms all the way up. And even then, if the content isn't suitable to an agenda, you won't get published. It's that simple. It's that simple. All reading material, including novels, are purposely put out there because everything shapes you into another version of you. Fiction or non-fiction doesn't matter. And today they have taken down the barriers which used to be there in publishing on fiction and non-fiction. There are more science fiction writers writing under the guise of non-fiction today than probably science fiction. And that is not by accident either. There has never been an age where so much psychological tampering has gone on through promotion, big high promotion
of what used to be called the mysteries in the 1700s, 1800s, and it's all been recycled again. All of the nonsense which was put out then by, it was by high Freemasonry, not the little yo-yos with the beer bellies that you'll see stumbling in and out of lodges at the bottom. But high Freemasonry put out the myths, because religions have always been used down through the ages to create mindsets and control factors over people. And when you're off chasing aliens in space or whatever it happens to be that they make popular at the time. And remember, the bulk of the populace will always follow what becomes popular. That's standard. So whatever is put out there is just rehashes of old stuff. It was around the time of Francis Bacon when the Rosicrucians first emerged publicly in England, that they first mentioned the old stuff from Plato and Atlantis. Now, all that survived prior to that was Plato's writings on it, and he never defined it as a work of fiction or non-fiction, although he did tend to say that his ancestor Solon is a play on the sun, and also the city of On, which is Heliopolis in Greek. So it's again, it's a mystery religion story, and there's always meanings behind the stories in allegorical forms. We can't take it at face value as a fact. It's up for the wise to discern that through a fiction a reality is being put across, if you can discern it. And all that really remained was Plato's writings and some stories in ancient Greek, which they weren't sure were even with their myths or not, to do with an invasion of these people they eventually called the Atlanteans. But there was no mention in the writings of the time of a higher society, an advanced society. In fact, the remnants of them were defeated supposedly by the Spartans, which goes against the grain, because the Spartans, apart from their massive discipline and their ordinary weapons, were just armed the same way as everyone else was of that time. But that, coupled with an earthquake, supposedly helped sink Atlantis, and the remnants of the armies which were already in the fields in battle when it happened were defeated by the Spartans. It was resurrected with Rosicrucians, as I say, in Queen Elizabeth I's court, and pushed out there as an ideal for something to work towards. The ideal society.
Yeah, and with Plato too. You mentioned Plato. I noticed this term that I now know where it came from. And it's this term, it was in George Orwell, and I see people with Christians use it, how they all call each other brother. And
yes,
Plato said that, call each other, like we're all one big family, like we're all connected or something like that.
That's right.
So that's where it comes from, 2,000 years ago, right?
Oh, yeah, it's just astonishing. Now, we are on an incredible roll. Everybody's aware of a shake-up going on. The general public are never truly conscious of anything except what they feel, and they all feel something is underway, not just coming along, but underway. And they do their best, as they've been trained to do, to ignore it. And that's the job of mainstream media. We've been trained for generations to get away from the old ideal that government was there to serve people. That was always a problem. And so, therefore, we've been trained through generations that, you know, we're here to serve the state. Now it's the world state. That is the state that Plato even envisaged an awful long time ago. When he wrote in his book, The Republic, he wrote as a true fascist on behalf of the elite, the intelligentsia, and the wealthy
as to who should rule the world and how they should rule it, even outlining the system of the guardians at the top and their helpers beneath them, and then the masses that would be bred especially for their tasks, just like animals would be selected by those who knew how to select, just like stock or animal husbandry. The same thing that the American Eugenicist Society and the British ones discussed in their own writings. Look into the writings at Cold Harbor. Even got the American Cattlemen's Association in on it to help them plan human breeding. And who funded that? Well, initially it was Carnegie, and then it was the Rockefeller Foundation. And it's still on the go with the CFR today.
The cost of maintaining the large cities, the super cities, as the UN has mandated them to be called and created, as they amalgamate all the smaller boroughs around them. The cost of keeping up the infrastructure as millions of people eventually migrate towards them, because that's the plan, as gas prices, gasoline or petrol in Britain, diesel, everything goes up in price as they force people off the roads. Under the Kyoto, they want to eventually eradicate all non-essential vehicles from travelling on roads. Under the Habitat Area Agenda of the United Nations, Agenda 21, they want everyone living, except for the bureaucratic classes and maybe some of the military classes, they want everyone else living inside the big super cities. The cost of maintaining the structures of the super cities is astronomical. At the moment, when you take all the sewage and systems underground that have to be maintained and rebuilt, because nothing that man makes lasts forever, except perhaps evil. The cost of replacing all these things is astronomical. It's not intended that these super cities will go on forever. Eventually there'll be small cities where the present capitals are, with only an essential population, essential to the elite, and the humanity, or whatever remains of what was human, the cloned, genetically modified, enhanced, the ideal design of ID, will live in them. While the elite already have their well-maintained properties in the country, this is not a new idea, it's an old idea going back all the way to ancient Egypt, and then Plato, who was taught in Egypt, and many of his own kind, Pythagoras too. Plato and the Republic, which every one of the elite reads often over and over, as H.G. Wells himself talked about. That was his favourite book, his first and favourite. Talked about a perfect state, talked about the world state, where the guardians run the whole world, the guardians of the world, and how they'd modify the working people for specialized tasks. They'd breed them for specific tasks. He didn't know at that time, at least didn't talk about genetic modification. He just used the old animal husbandry type techniques of domestication, plus the mental qualities or lack of them. They could breed in or out by selective breeding and pairing up. But he also talked about the beauty of having the people pay for the big estates which the elite would live in. And in this dialogue type of teaching that he gave under the cover of dialogues between two people, he said to this other person, he says, what's the point of us maintaining our big houses and our... And they also had holiday houses, just like the Leet have always had, near the coast or the sea somewhere. He says, the cost is incredible, and you're scared of robbery. The staff that you hire will steal from you. You always have to maintain everything and use all your money to do so. It's just better to get the people to do it all for you in a perfect world state. Well, that's what taxation's for. If you look at the big trust organizations and who they cater for, the biggest families on the planet technically own nothing. It's all maintained by the public. And it always has been. That's the real world.
From myself, Alan Watt, this good night to me, your God or your gods go with you.